Barry Larkin, what's going on, my friend? I appreciate you doing this, man.
I'm good. I'm in New York. Met with the commissioner just yesterday. Had some good vibes and headed to Dubai in about 3 days.
Is it weird that I never met you before and I almost came up to your hotel room? That's a weird way to start it, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say that's kind of disconcerting, yep. But no, it's all good.
The Cincinnati kid, born and raised, you're in New York.
Yeah.
Playing days and now. Yep. Favorite thing about New York, least favorite thing about New York?
I love the energy of New York. Actually, Shea Stadium was one of my favorite places to play because when I was a kid, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. And the roar of the engines right by LaGuardia, it really did something for me, as well as the fans. You know, it was funny because Buddy Bell, who's a mentor of mine, told me to always enjoy the interaction with fans, especially in New York, right? So early in my career, I would come out on deck and the fans would just start giving it to me, right? And so I turned and faced them and we started having some back and forth and it was all fun. You know, I didn't take it personal. They were telling me that, you know, you're terrible. You can't do this, that, and the other. So anyway, I remember one day I was facing Frankie Viola. And this guy in particular said, "Yo, Larkin, you can't hit Frankie." He didn't say it like that, right? He said, "You can't hit Frankie." And I was like, "Yeah, I know. Larkin, you suck, right? You blah, 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 blah." So I hit a double off the wall, and I come back up, and I'm on deck to hit the next time. I remember this like it was yesterday. And then that same guy, when I come up, that little group of people were still yelling at me. And that guy says, "Well, Larkin, I guess you can hit Frankie." And I start shaking my head like this right here. Like, yeah, I know. You saw what I just did, right? He said, "Yeah, but you still suck." Oh, my God. I start dying laughing. And so every time I would come to New York and I would get up, to get ready to go hit, I would look for that section of people. And they would, for the most part, they were just out there every single series. And I absolutely loved it. There's really nothing I don't like about New York. You know, I'm kind of a slow, kind of reserved guy. And so for me, the energy really does something for me. I don't know if I could stay here all the time. Mm-hmm. But that's my take on New York. I love it.
True or false? I just read a book, The Cup of mm-hmm. Coffee Club, mm-hmm. and it was about Major League Baseball players who only played one game in the majors. Mm-hmm. And your brother had a whole chapter, and it was awesome.
Yes.
Is it true the game he played,
yep.
he goes 1-for-3,
yep.
you go 0-for-3, and yep. you're a little upset? I heard you wanted to get it. Is that true that you were a little pissed off?
What I was upset about was, I think it was Jack McKeon at the time was our manager, and I was upset at myself. So, and the reason is because I went up there, and my brother, I think he got a hit maybe his first at-bat. And I was 0-for-2 at the time, and we were playing, I think it was Pittsburgh, and last game of the season, we both were out of contention, so nobody was playing for the playoffs. So Jack asked me, "Do you want to get one more at-bat so you can get a hit, right?" And I go, "Yeah, it'd be really cool to get a hit in the same game my brother got a hit, right?" And I didn't know this was going to be his only major league game at the time. So I'm up there, I'm working the count, this hard-throwing lefty from I don't know where, and the last pitch of the at-bat, he smokes me in the rib cage.
Hit by pitch. Right?
Hit by pitch was my last. That's what upset me. That is 1,000% a true story right there.
What's cooler, being on your first baseball card, your first action figure, the starting lineup figure, or seeing yourself in a video game?
Well, they're all cool, obviously. But I think the first time I saw myself in video game, it was really cool. Because you saw some animation to it, you know. You know, the other things were cool and all, and most of the time the bobbleheads don't even look like you and all that. But it was pretty cool to see myself animated in a video game, actually moving and playing and noticing, that does kind of look like my batting stance, doesn't it? So I think it does. So it's all cool, though.
Your on-the-field accomplishments speak for themselves. Let's go through them. 12-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glove winner, 9-time Silver Slugger Award winner, World Series champion, MVP, obviously a Hall of Famer. Now we get to call you owner. So congratulations on being one of the owners of Baseball United, the first professional baseball league created to serve the Middle East and South Asia, an area with over 2 billion people, a billion cricket fans. I just mentioned your part ownership group, along with Mariano Rivera, who was just on the show, one of the only minority-owned professional sports leagues in the world. But Barry, here's what I want to ask you. I know every day you get asked to do podcasts, join this organization, get involved in this. What was it about Baseball United that immediately wanted to get you involved?
Well, I've been working in international baseball for some time, ever since I retired. Actually, when I was at the end of my career, I noticed that I was spending a lot of my time kind of mentoring mentally the younger players on the team. But I saw myself throwing batting practice in the tunnel before the game to actually get loose to play in the game. So coaching and working with players and developing players has always been something that's really been close to my heart and very rewarding. So when I retired, I start working in the United States as well as abroad because I love to travel. And I had some opportunities to do some outreach programs. I worked with Major League Baseball International. I worked on the George Bush administration. There's a diplomacy, sports diplomacy. It's called Sports United Program that I was an envoy for the State Department. So I've always had this thirst for working abroad, travel, and working in player development. One of my envoys was to India. I went to New Delhi and Nepal. I got incredibly sick, so hopefully it won't.
Delhi belly, they call it.
So hopefully this time it won't be like that. But I noticed that there were a lot of really talented athletes, super athletic athletes, right? But not necessarily baseball players. Worked with some cricket players, some softball players, some field hockey players, but no real baseball players. So we brought a program to India on behalf of the government, and I noticed the athleticism. So I always thought that it would be a great opportunity and great idea to try to bring some kind of structure to the country if they would accept it, and to kind of do a grassroots player development system within the communities. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's not about going in and plucking players away, much like what happened with the $1 Million Arm.
Sure.
But it's more about giving back and integrating into the community. And that's what I'm about. So this opportunity with Baseball United allowed me to pursue many of those things that I talked to you about.
Now tell me how that call happens. I know you're very close with Cash.
Yep.
I'm very close with John Meijerk.
Yep.
I'd do anything to work for that man. I always said I would sell ice cream in Nigeria for a hockey league for that man.
Right.
Who approaches you? And when you hear that idea, like, I'm into it. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, John was actually the guy that reached out to me through a few mutual friends. And he asked me if I would have interest in doing something. He said, because I've heard of your international experience. Yeah, I created and helped create the program down in Brazil, and I've been working in Brazil for the last 10 to 12 years. He was aware that I did the $1 Million Arm, and he said to me, he's like, would you have any interest in doing some stuff over there? I said, sure. So I talked to them primarily the first time I talked to them initially, and I thought, this is a really good idea. And originally, they wanted me to just come on as an advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And I told John, I said, listen, I could advise you all day long, but it's really about the execution and, you know, the curriculum. And these are all these ideas that I have. And if I'm going to do something internationally, I'm going to do something internationally. I'm not just going to give you my ideas and just, you know, you guys go ahead and do whatever you decide to do. But if you'd like me to be involved in it, I would like to be involved. I don't want to stick a toe in. I want to stick 2 feet in, and
wow.
I want to be part of it. So that happened. You know, there were some internal struggles, right? Some things that had to get corrected, and eventually we got those corrected, or they got those corrected. Mm-hmm. And then I reached out to Cash because I was working with Cash on some other endeavors, and brought Cash in. And the next thing I know, Cash is climbing the ladder very quickly, and now he's the president and CEO.
Yeah. Now tell me about that. I know there was some changes. The wrongs were, you know, corrected.
Right.
You're an owner now. Yeah. What does that mean? What does that entail for you?
Well, you know, it's I don't think it's ceremonial because I'm invested.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm invested financially as well as passionately. And so it means stewardship, actually. That's what it means. It means the ability to directly impact where we go as an organization and being able to implement and execute some of the things that I'm so passionate about in the player development side, the innovation of making changes to the game, the field of play, the fan experience, because I've experienced it all. You know, I've been a player. I was a fan growing up. I was a player. I worked in the front office. I worked in the media. Now I'm a fan again, and now I'm a broadcaster. So I've worked all the different facets of it. So ownership means my ability to input in all those different areas and help the organization as I see with a couple of really, really good individuals.
You famously went down to Brazil,
yep.
which is not a baseball-centric country. I was just there in February. It's not. It's a soccer.
Yep.
It's obsessed with it, okay? You go down there. What hurdles did you face, and what hurdles do you see going out to Dubai, the UAE, and even over to Pakistan? I know India, Bangladesh, which is not baseball-centric. What hurdles did you face, and what hurdles do you see might happen?
Yeah, great question. What I saw down in Brazil was that there was a small community of baseball community. What I saw was it was not – baseball was not part of the culture. And that is, I think, the challenge that I will see or that we see in India as well. However, we did some very unique things in addressing the fact that it wasn't part of the culture. And we made some hybrid games. We played some introductory games to ask or to challenge the youth to learn how to use their hands while still playing a form of soccer.
Okay, okay.
Right? So we introduced kickball, right?
That's interesting.
We introduced wiffle ball. And we made these hybrid games or these games that would lead them to the path of baseball. So we did that with some governmental support. With educational support as well. And it went really well, and you could see some of the participation start peaking up. We also had some really cool guys, Jan Gomes, mm-hmm. really Andre Rienzo, some really, really great spokespeople who are Brazilian, who went out and, you know, did some media tours and did some stuff to try to spark the influence and influence young kids. So it's interesting. Didn't get a chance to manage the team in the qualifier this year in Panama because I had too much stuff going on, mm-hmm. including this.
Yeah.
And had they advanced, I was going to manage them in the WBC again, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But a lot of new faces, a lot of young faces, and so I think it's trending upward, and I think that's great. I believe we're going to face the same thing in India. Now, cricket is the cultural sport, mm-hmm. so it's a matter of, once again, introducing a sport, some kind of hybrid crossover to lead the cricket fans to baseball. But the difference being is that there is a large baseball community, whereas Brazil was a small baseball community. In Brazil, or in India, there's a large baseball community. Now, it's spread out over 1.4 billion people in India, right, and 700,000 in Pakistan, and 800,000, and I believe it's in Dubai. However, there are expats there. There are people who have studied, brought here in the States, who love Americana. And I think the real true difference is that there's a real thirst from the government, a lot of support from the government. So we're talking about accreditation. We're talking about getting into school systems. We're talking about creating hybrid games to have kids learn the game of baseball. And also we're talking about opportunities. If we challenge people, if we can integrate ourselves into the community and challenge people to learn the game of baseball, then we could possibly have acceptance and approval. We can provide opportunities for people. We can provide jobs. You know, learn the game of baseball, and the chances are you probably won't be a baseball player, but someone has to score the game. Someone has to officiate the game, right? So there are PTs all the time. There's a medical component to it, right? There's a mathematical component to it.
There's video components. There's everything.
There's absolutely everything, the tech, everything. So the challenge is to learn the challenge that I will pose to the communities and the culture is to learn the game of baseball and see if there is an opportunity. Because what happens is everyone wants to be a cricket player, but there is a certain amount of players that can only participate in cricket. So why not default to baseball? Mm-hmm. So hopefully we have a captive audience, and hopefully we can get a small percentage of those people to really love the game of baseball.
Now, how important was that to you? Because a lot of people, when I tell my friends about the league, like, oh, my God, that's so awesome, period, stop. You're like, yeah, we want to play baseball, but you're looking so broader to that. Was that important to you that Baseball United doesn't want to just go there, make money, and play baseball, that you want to be like, I want to have baseball teams out there. I want the kids to have jobs. You're trying to change the whole environment over there, aren't you?
So you asked me what does it mean to be an owner? Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying to you. It's very inclusive. It's innovative. You know, we're looking to be equitable, inclusive. There's just so many things, so many ideas that I have that I've always wanted to implement that now as an owner, I'm very close to being able to, not mandate, but implement the things that I feel can certainly improve the game of baseball in different parts of the world.
The Reds has always had hard uniforms. They had the white pullover with the red V-neck. You guys had the sleeveless shirts with the red. Will Barry Larkin have any input in the uniforms out there?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
We do have some designs, and they're pretty cool.
Okay.
We just have a really good team. You know, Cash and his team are amazing. John is amazing. We just have a really, really, really good team. You know, Mariano, it's just a really good team. So, and we have a design team as well. Mm-hmm. But the uniforms are going to be, I'm going to be rocking the gear. That is for sure. I'm going to be rocking the gear.
The World Showcase is November 2023. What does that entail? I know it's not going to be out in Dubai.
Yeah.
What does that entail?
So, original plans are to have four teams and have a showcase tournament in November of 2023. We don't have the exact dates yet. Mm-hmm. We will be playing in Dubai Cricket Stadium, world famous stadium, crown jewel city of Dubai. The plan at this time is to have 9 to 10 games.
Nice.
Four teams. So it'll be basically 2 weeks. Just to showcase and to give that part of the world kind of a nugget, a taste of what is to come. So the showcase happens, and then the following year, we're going to start leagues.
I'm very fortunate to talk to John every day. So I know people you guys talk to who you're going to try to get involved. When you tell other people or other players reach out to you, do they share the excitement of you? Like, hey, we're doing this. Do everybody wants in? Like, 'cause it seems like a magnetic force that's going to happen.
It is amazing. Yeah. it really is amazing. It's amazing the amount of people that reach out. It's amazing the type of people that reach out. This is current players, former players, mm-hmm. People that love the game of baseball. We just had a meeting just the other day. You know, we rebranded not too long ago, and we just had a meeting 2 days ago with the commissioner of Major League Baseball.
Insane.
And it was a very positive meeting. So, you know, man, you just think about the potential, right? The potential, and that this has not happened. I'm certain that there were people that tried to do this before in some form or fashion. But I don't think a comprehensive force like what we have has ever really tried to implement what we're going to do. There's a lot of work to be done, obviously, but I am incredibly happy and passionate and really determined to make this happen. And I believe I have all the confidence in the world that we're going to be able to implement all the things that we're talking about doing.
I know you're doing your research. You were out there. You ever played cricket? Were you a batter? Were you any good or no?
Never played cricket. I've seen it. I don't understand the game. I understand some of the concepts, but you know, I'm always about hitting the ball in fair territory. Well, fair territory is 360 degrees in cricket. That's a little bit different, but you know, I think it's good. I'm very open to different games and different things, right? And I have this thirst for learning, so I look forward to being uncomfortable. I'm comfortable in baseball. We say, especially the young players, You have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? And I am comfortably uncomfortable when it comes to cricket, but I really look forward to learning it.
And it's funny because I'm a huge traveler. I know you mentioned that too. That's the quote of traveling. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable
That's
everywhere.
Right. That's right.
In a taxi, on a camel, anything. Some countries you want to go to that you love. What are some of your bucket list places that you're dying to go to?
Dubai,
obviously.
Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
Qatar. I'm just looking forward to all of it. Caveat being, I had that bad experience where. But I'm looking forward to going back to India as well. So Mumbai, I really am. Hopefully I will be good this time.
When you were in Brazil, any soccer fever? Did you get?
Oh my goodness!
It's insane down there.
It is crazy down there, and dangerous too.
Yeah, oh, I know it is.
You talk about passion. You know, the real difference between the U.S. and other countries relative to sporting events is the raw. I'll say the rawness of the fan base. You know, my son, who went to University of Miami and played in the NBA for 4 years,
played for my Knicks,
is now playing overseas
in Turkey, right?
And in Turkey, yeah. And when we go over and get a chance to watch him play, it is not lost upon us the rawness of the crowds. You know, they are screaming and yelling the entire time, up or down. They are incredibly, incredibly passionate. It is absolutely amazing. I've seen a cricket match on TV, and I noticed the same thing. It wasn't just a hype video that I was watching. I was actually watching a match, right? And to sit there for the 30 minutes that I watched the match, and just to kind of watch the fan base and see how they reacted to absolutely everything. It was amazing. You don't necessarily get that, certainly don't get that at Major League Baseball games until someone hits home run or it's a big part of the game. Football is more like that. Mm-hmm. Basketball, NBA is kind of more buttoned up until the last few minutes of the game. But it's raw over there, and I really look forward to creating that kind of atmosphere at these baseball games. The beauty is we have kind of a whiteboard, right? So some of the things that we're able to implement are some innovative changes to the actual pace of play and the type of play that's happening. Not going to announce what we're going to do, but it's going to be all about a fan experience. And, you know, I told you, I was a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I was a player. I was a broadcaster. Or I am a broadcaster. So it's going to be really cool to be able to draw on some of my experiences and try to implement some ideas, some innovation, some technology to create kind of a carnival type of atmosphere. Not a circus,
mm-hmm.
but kind of a carnival type of atmosphere with music and things that younger audiences, younger people really love, right? Even maybe even a betting element there. So, you know, obviously whatever their culture will call for and support, that's where we're going to go. And so all of that is inclusive in my being an owner because, you know, I have a chance to implement a lot of these good things.
I know you got to fly out. You ready to finish up with five quick hit questions?
Sure.
Barry Larkin, you and I are at a bar here in New York City.
Yep.
You want to impress everybody. Who's the coolest person in your phone that if you texted them right now, they would text you back?
Ooh.
You got a name drop for me.
Jesus. The coolest person.
That's going to impress people.
I don't really have too many cool guys in my phone, bro. I'm kind of a. I really don't.
Barry, give me your phone then, and then.
I guess Ken Griffey Jr.
That's a great one.
Okay, well, but it's baseball. I was thinking like,
no.
It'd be nice if I could like text Barack Obama or somebody,
or Rihanna,
Rihanna, Jamie Foxx, someone like that. You know, that would be cool.
All right, Griffey's a great one. How about this? Coolest piece of memorabilia that you own?
You know, I was the first shortstop in the history to hit 30. And my wife had a piece of jewelry made, and it was a baseball glove with a diamond and a bat kind of crossed like that, and it says 30-30 on it. It's amazing. I mean, I wore it like a couple of times, but I, you know, I have it displayed, and it's super cool. Other than, you know, like a silver medal. I wish I had a gold medal.
Yeah.
But a silver medal. But, yeah, that's it. I'm sorry. I'm not a fast guy, so I know I take this. It's supposed to be quick hitting.
No. I like this. You're right. Actually putting thought into it.
Right.
On November 26th, there's a little college football game. The Michigan Wolverines are playing the Ohio State University. I know it's a weird spot for you. Ohio boy, Michigan scholarship for football, back and forth. Prediction for that game, Barry Larkin.
Well, let me preface it with this. This is a sensitive subject because you said Ohio boy, mm-hmm. went to Michigan, did not get recruited by Ohio State. Super bitter about that.
Okay.
Super bitter about that. Obviously, I want the Wolverines to win. Super bitter about that.
How about this? Last player, again, that you asked to take a picture with, or last celebrity that Barry Larkin asked to take a picture with?
Muhammad Ali.
Oh. And you got it?
I got it.
That's a great one.
I got it with my son. Share a story with you. So Muhammad Ali was at All-Star Game. I think it was in 2004 in Houston. And he was sitting down and he was signing some autographs and guys were going over to him and asking him for an autograph. And, you know, he was in the midst of Parkinson's and he wasn't moving as flow as he normally was, right? And so my son walks over to him, and my son says, will you sign my shirt? So it was, it was one of my shirts that he was wearing. He was on the field with me. And at the time he was, 13, 14 or whatever it was at that time, right? And so Muhammad Ali goes to sign his shirt, right? Well, I'm standing right beside him, and so he reaches for my shirt, right? And I kind of touch his hand, like I kind of pair his hand, like in boxing terms, I kind of pair his hand. I hit his hand, and he picks up his left like he's about to
instinct, right?
I was like, no,
Mr. Raleigh.
No. That was cool. And I got to, talk about my son a little bit now. I've never seen him starstruck. He's met quite a few guys, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, LeBron, played against LeBron, all these great, great athletes. But when he met Tiger Woods for the first time, he was starstruck. I don't think he knew what to say. It was super cool. So,
and that must be cool for you because you gave him the opportunity to witness it, right?
Amazing. You know, we went to the White House and we sat in the Oval Office and had some opportunities to do some incredible things, you know, just because of the opportunities with baseball. And I got a chance to experience a lot of that, you know, with my kids. I was reading an article the other day about Jeet, who I absolutely love and respect, Derek Jeter. And, he's got three girls now. And, you know, and the article said something at the end about isn't it too bad that his girls can't see? I think someone called him captain or something when he was out eating with one of his girls. And his daughter was like, well, daddy, why are they calling you captain? And, he said whatever he said. And then supposedly she said, well, daddy, in this family, I'm the captain. You're not the captain. So I totally understand that because I got two girls myself. But that was super cool. But, you know, to be able to experience the game of baseball and the success that I've had and all the accolades that came along with it and opportunities to come along with it, with my family, with my kids, that's probably one of my greatest joys, obviously, in the world.
And the last one, you're a student of the game, you're a fan of the game.
Yeah.
In the history of baseball, one game Barry Larkin wishes he could have sat front row and watched. Any game in the history of sports, any sporting event in the world, Barry Larkin wishes he sat front row to see something happen.
I'm a big boxing fan, man, and so I would say the Rumble in the Jungle.
Oh, that's okay.
Muhammad Ali, Frazier. That was amazing. But you know, I love boxing and I love the strategy of boxing. You know, a huge Floyd Mayweather fan. And, it's just Felix Trinidad. Used to love to watch him fight. I like tactical fighters, but I love to watch brawls as well. Obviously, Tyson. I got a chance to see Tyson fight a couple of times. I was at the Fan in Vegas when the Fan flew into the
of course.
Yeah, the ring. Used to go to Vegas for a lot of fights. But probably the one that I wish I was part of was more the Rumble in the Jungle. It's really funny, man. When you go to boxing matches, there's so much. I can't say just testosterone, because I've seen a lot of guys, matter of fact, a lot of Major League Baseball player guys getting fights at these matches. But this one particular match I went to, I went to go see Roy Jones Jr. fight.
Amazing watching him fight.
He was amazing.
In his prime, unbelievable.
He was amazing. And I think I was like three or four rows back. And this female, she had to be about 6 feet tall. She beat the absolute crap out of a male. He must have been 6'3" and much bigger, because they were arguing over who had the front row seat. It was absolutely amazing. But I would have to say it would be that boxing
match. I'll tell you, we're going to finish up. The four I usually get, I get Miracle on Ice, 1980s, yep. USA soccer. USA hockey.
Yep.
I get the fight here, Frazier Ali won at the Garden. Mm. A lot of people want that one. Jackie Robinson's first game, a lot of people take that one. Hmm. And Babe Ruth calling his shot in the 1932 World Series. Those really? Are the four I usually, obviously yeah. there's fun, different ones, but those are the four people usually hone on.
Yeah.
Listen, the plug is baseballunited.com. Barry Larkin, you're doing some great things. I can't wait to podcast again, because I want to talk more about your son playing for my Knicks, going to the U. We should have went to Kentucky. I'm a Kentucky basketball fan. And, dude, safe flight to Dubai.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck with this. And I'm involved. I'm excited to do more stuff for you, man.
All right, appreciate
this
you.
This is a blast, bro.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.